Hello and welcome to the TAA Audio Conference, How to Write and Submit a Book Proposal for an Academic Press, presented by Tanya Golash-Boza. Tanya is an assistant professor of sociology and American studies at the University of Kansas. She is the author of three books, Due Process Denied, Immigration Nation, and Yo Soy Negro, Blackness in Peru. She has also published many articles in peer-reviewed journals on deportations, racial identity, U.S. Latinos, Latinas, and Latin America, in addition to essays and chapters in edited volumes and online venues. Her innovative scholarship was awarded the Distinguished Early Career Award from the Racial and Ethnic Minority Studies section of the American Sociological Association in 2010. I now turn the session over to Tanya.
Hi, good afternoon. It's great to be here. Thank you to all the listeners for coming, and to Kim and the TAA for organizing this event. Today, I will talk about how to write and submit a successful book proposal for an academic press. I'll probably talk for about 30 minutes and try and leave lots of time to answer your questions. I'll talk about the following things in this order. First, how to select a publisher for your book. Second, how to go about contacting and finding acquisitions editors. Third, the components of a successful proposal, and then what to include in the package you send to publishers, and finally, what happens after you submit the proposal. So I'll start out with how to select a publisher for your book. So like many aspects of academic publishing, where you publish is often as important as what you publish. Thus, the decision of where to publish your academic book is crucial. It could make a tremendous difference in your career, whether you publish your first book with a press like Harvard University Press, or with another one like Roman and Littlefield, or with Verlag, a relatively unknown press. So if you're in a field such as history or literature where book publishing is essential for tenure, the prestige of the press is particularly important. And if this is your first book, and the primary purpose of writing the book is to secure tenure, in most cases, you should first try to publish your book with a university press. And again, this varies by discipline, but in book-heavy disciplines, university presses are generally considered to be where you would want to first try and publish your book. So a university press is a publishing house associated with a university, such as Cambridge, Duke, or the University of California. And university presses, just like universities, are ranked by prestige. And in most cases, this is pretty easy to figure out because the prestige of the press is often directly linked to the prestige of the university. However, there's some nuance here, and presses are often known for specializing in certain subfields. So for example, if you're publishing a book on Spanish literature, it might actually be better for you to publish with Bucknell, which specializes in Spanish literature, than MIT, which might not have a specialty in that particular subfield. So the next question, of course, is how do you actually figure this out? If you are aiming for a university press, which university press should you publish in? And it's really important to figure out which presses are going to be best for your book. I'm going to talk about three strategies you can use to help to figure out which publishers could be right for your project. And the first thing I suggest you do is look at your bookshelf. What books are you reading, and where are they published? And you really want to pay particular attention to books that you are reading and citing that have been published in the past 5 years, because presses do change their focus over time. So a press might have been publishing in an area 10 or 20 years ago, and they may no longer publish in that area. First thing to do is take a look at your own bookshelf, look at your own bibliography, and ask yourself, are there any presses that stand out, especially in the past couple of years? The second thing to do to figure out where to consider publishing your book is to ask around. Ask people who are familiar with your work, people who've read part of your dissertation, if your book is based on your dissertation, or people who've read your articles or conference papers, ask them which presses they think are most appropriate for your work. Also ask senior colleagues in your field which presses are known for publishing in your subfield. This information senior colleagues tend to know, and they're generally willing to share. So for example, if your field is Latin American literature, you can ask colleagues in that field which press have the best lists in your field. Also ask around your department so you can get a sense of which presses are most respected in your discipline in general, because that might help you choose as well, because certain presses specialize in subfields, but they also specialize in certain disciplinary areas. And the third thing to do is to go to conferences and to visit the book exhibit. Most major conferences will have a large book exhibit, and it's good for you to just walk around the exhibit and pay attention to what books are on the front display of each exhibit, because those are the books that the publisher is highlighting, the book that they specialize in. And usually at the book exhibit, there'll be several representatives, and you can ask them if they publish in your area. And you can be prepared to ask a concise question such as, you know, I'm writing a book on the discourse of racism in Peru. Is that an area in which your press might be interested? And usually the representative can tell you pretty quickly whether or not they are building a list in your field. And if they're very interested, they might ask you for more information. So you want to be prepared to tell them a little bit more about your work if you're at a conference. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about publishing with non-university presses, because in addition to university presses, there are other presses that are also considered academic. And these are called trade academic presses because they're privately owned. They're not owned by a university, and they're sometimes they're independent presses, sometimes they're nonprofits, but the point is that they're not owned by a university. And these trade academic presses include presses such as Rutledge, Roman and Littlefield, Palgrave Macmillan, Lynn Reiner, and Paradigm Publishers. So whether or not you should publish in these presses depends a lot on your field and your department and your university. Whether or not you should publish in these presses really depends on your particular discipline. So in some departments, these presses are seen as not prestigious and university presses, and for some people, any university press will be better. However, in some fields, it really doesn't make a difference. And I think, just to give one example, in political science, for example, people don't necessarily need a book for tenure, so publishing with Rutledge is basically the same as publishing with the university press. So it really depends. You really have to ask around in your field to get an idea about whether and where you should publish. And I want to say that I published my first book with a university press because my mentor told me explicitly that it didn't matter where I published my book so long as it had university in the title. So although trade academic presses actually approached me about my manuscript, I never sent them my materials because I knew that I needed a university press to secure tenure at my university. I also want to say that I'm not at all opposed to publishing with trade academic presses, but I do want everyone to know that in some fields there's an explicit hierarchy. And that whether or not there should be a hierarchy is a whole different question, but you should be aware if there is one in your field. And I actually decided to publish my second and my third books with trade academic presses. And I never even discussed my second book with the university press. And I made that decision because I figured that Paradigm Publishers, which is an independent publisher, would give me more editorial leeway on a controversial topic because their current list includes a wide variety of controversial topics by controversial authors. And my third book was actually invited by a series editor at Rutledge, and so I went with them because they actually asked me to write the book, and they promised and delivered a very quick turnaround. So I'm happy with my decision to publish my first book with the university press and my second two books with trade academic presses. But these latter two books I didn't publish necessarily just to get tenure. I published them because I wanted, there was stuff I wanted to work on, and I knew that trade presses would do what I needed them to do. So the thing is, you need to figure out what you want to write a book for, what the purpose is of you writing a book, and what press will best serve that purpose. And I also want to say there also are, in addition to academic trade presses and university presses, there are also trade presses. And these include presses such as Simon & Schuster, W.W. Norton, and Viking. There's lots and lots of trade presses out there. And publishing in trade presses is a completely different ball game, and it often requires an agent and a marketing scheme and a whole bunch of other stuff, and that's a whole different topic. And it requires a separate teleconference. I know TA already has other teleconferences on that topic, so we're not going to talk about strictly trade presses today, although we will talk about academic trade and university presses. And I also want to note that there are also presses that are called vanity presses. And these vanity presses might email you asking you to submit your manuscript. So, for example, Verlag, also called VDM, routinely sends out emails asking new authors if they would like to publish with them. And whether or not you publish with them depends on what your goals are. If your goal is to publish in order to get tenure, it's usually not a good idea to publish with them because their press is not peer-reviewed and generally not respected in academia. But if you just want a book, you know, to show your mother or to show somebody, then that would be a fine option. Otherwise, you want to steer clear of any vanity press or any press that doesn't send your book out for peer review. So if you're not sure whether or not a particular press is an academic press, so in addition to asking your colleagues, you can also ask the press if they send the manuscript out for review and if they copy edit the manuscript. Any press that doesn't send the manuscript out for peer review and doesn't copy edit your manuscript is probably not an academic press. So the next thing I'll talk about is how to go about contacting and finding acquisition editors. An acquisition editor is somebody who works at a press whose job it is to find manuscripts and to present them to their editorial board. So once you've developed a list of presses where you would like to publish your book, the next step is to contact the acquisition editors of those presses. And they are the ones that are going to be your first point of contact at that press. And there are three ways that you can use to contact these acquisition editors. The first way is through websites, the most common way. But you can also contact them at conferences and through your personal contacts. So the first and the most common way to find find acquisitions editors is through websites. Most academic and academic trade presses list the acquisitions editors on their website. For example, if you go to the University of Minnesota Press website, first of all, you'll see that they have very specific guidelines for proposal submissions, and they also have a list of all of their acquisitions editors. And the acquisition editors specialize by discipline and by subfield. So you want to read the list carefully to choose which editor's work is closest to your own. If you go to the website and you don't see anything, you know, if you work on Latin American literature and you don't see anyone that works on literature or anyone that works on Latin America, then that press is probably not the right press for you. So you basically want to look and see what's listed on their website and find out and see where you fit. And then you contact your particular acquisitions editor about your book or your book manuscript. The second way to find acquisitions editors is at conferences. Acquisitions editors frequently attend conferences, at any big conference like the Latin American Studies Annual Meeting, the American Sociological Association Annual Meeting, the American Studies Annual Meeting. So any major conference that has a book exhibit, you'll find acquisitions editors. And if you have a proposal ready, you can contact the acquisition editor prior to the conference and ask them if they'd be willing to meet with you to discuss your work. You also can just peruse the book exhibit with your proposal in hand, and you can give it to any acquisitions editor or any assistant who might seem interested. And you also can approach editors even if you don't have a prospectus in order to gauge their interest. It can be quite intimidating to walk around conferences and approach acquisitions editors. So the best way to do it, if you're nervous about it, is to be ready with, you know, your one line about what you want to say, and then ready with a longer description of your book in case anyone's interested. Basically, you would just approach the person wearing a name tag at a conference and at the book exhibit and ask them, you know, do you publish in this area? I'm working on a book in this area, or I'm in the process of writing my dissertation in this area. Is this something that you might be interested in? And you can, based on that, you can get an idea as to whether or not the acquisitions editor might be interested. The third way to contact acquisitions editors is through personal contacts. So if you know someone well who has published with a particular press and who knows your work well, you can ask them to recommend your work to an acquisitions editor. So many published authors are happy to share the contact information of their editors with prospective book authors, especially if they feel your work has promise. So the crucial thing here is to be sure that the author you ask is a fan of your work so that they will feel comfortable recommending you to a publisher. Basically, you're asking them to do you a favor, so you want to make sure this is someone that you know well and someone who respects your work. And once you find an acquisitions editor that is willing to work with you, you're going to be embarking on a long relationship with that editor. So it's important to start off on the right foot, as well as to be sure that you have a good working relationship with the editor. For these reasons, it is a good idea to contact them before sending off all of your materials. So when you find an acquisitions editor that you're actually going to work with, you know, you're going to be working together usually for a year, and sometimes after that you might work together on marketing. It's basically someone you're going to have a relationship with for a long time, so you want to start off the relationship on the right foot, but also enter into contact with them to make sure that you all are capable of talking to one another and having a good relationship. So now I'm going to talk about the components of a successful proposal. Now, the book proposal itself is probably the most important document in terms of finding a press. The book proposal is crucial, and it's something that really requires you to spend a lot of time preparing and concentrating on. It's a relatively short document, but it's very important, so you want to make sure that you take your time to write it, share with other people before you send it out. So let's talk a little bit about what a proposal looks like. I also want to say that many university press and trade press websites have guidelines to help you create a successful proposal. So, for example, the University of California Press lays out the guidelines. Harvard University Press lays out the guidelines. Rutledge also lays out the guidelines. So be sure to check the website of the press where you plan to submit to find out if they have specific guidelines before sending them a proposal. So the proposals do vary according to the press, but most of them have roughly the same seven components. I'm going to talk about each of those seven components of a book proposal. So the first thing is a one-page description of the book, and usually a one single space page description of the book. And this is usually the most important aspect of the proposal. You know, you're inviting the reader in, telling them what your book is about. So the first, and I usually think about this one-page description as having usually about four paragraphs. The first paragraph is what it should be a hook. This is where you would invite the reader in with an interesting anecdote or some surprising data. If you're drawing from qualitative research, you might have a brief story that captures the essence of your work. If you're working with a topic that's, you know, a current topic, you might have a statistic that you can pull readers in with. You know, like I work on deportation, so I might start off with, you know, every day the United States deport 1,000 people. Who are these people? Something like that. You know, but something to pull the reader in. The second paragraph is where you would state your central argument and back it up. So, and this is actually coming up with a central argument is one of the hardest parts of writing a book, because usually you have to write the whole book before you can figure out what the actual argument is. And most people's dissertations don't have a really strong central argument, but sometimes they do. This is something you may have a draft of your book and still not be exactly sure what your central argument is, but you do need to state your central argument. Make sure that you have a central argument. And I think I heard someone say once that a good argument is one that someone could disagree with. Right? So you know you have an argument when you're making a statement that someone could disagree with. And until you have an argument like that, until you have a statement that someone could disagree with or agree with, you don't have an argument. So you need to state your central argument and back it up. And then in the third paragraph, you want to state the contribution to scholarship and place your work in the literature. So here is where you want to say what literature your work is in conversation with. You want to situate your work in a certain field, in a certain subfield, or in a couple of subfields. This is where you want to kind of place your work in the scholarship. And I'm going to emphasize that this goes down in the third paragraph, because you never want to start your book proposal off talking about other people's scholarship. You want to place yours first, but then put it into context so that we know the contribution. And then in the last paragraph, you might provide a roadmap to the book, just sort of explain how you're going to do what you've set out to do. The second component is a descriptive table of contents. And this is where you say chapter 1, give the title and give one paragraph that describes chapter one, one paragraph that describes chapter two, basically just go through the book and provide a very brief abstract of each paragraph. The third thing is a mechanical description of the final manuscript. This is here you would say how many words the manuscript you anticipate having, how many illustrations you expect to have, how many tables it might have, anything that's particular to the manuscript, any of all the technical details. And people often ask how long a book manuscript should be. And I'd say usually it should be at least, in most cases it should be at least about 70,000 words, but usually not more than 150,000, so somewhere in there. And I'd say the average might be around 100,000 words for a book manuscript. And if you have too few words or too many words, that might raise eyebrows. Of course, publishers publish very long books and very short books all the time. But if you're aiming for the norm, or if you don't have a special reason for the book being too short or too long, you want to kind of aim for the norm. The fourth thing is a description of the audience for your book. Here you want to tell the editor who you expect to purchase the book. You know, will it be read only in your field or also in other disciplines? Will undergraduates be interested in your book, or is it solely directed at faculty and graduate students? Could it be used in undergraduate or graduate courses? And if so, explain which ones. The fifth component is to describe the competition. What are the existing books in your field? Now you want to name those books. And then you want to say how your book is going to stand out from these books. You know, do you use a different methodology or a different approach? Is yours designed for a different audience? If any of the competing books you mention are very similar to your own book, you should spend a few sentences explaining how yours is distinct. You don't need to say, these books are terrible. You just need to say, this book looks at this problem or this issue from this perspective. I use a different perspective. I have different data. But just make it clear how your book differs from the competition. And I just want to say it is good to have competition because that shows that other people are also publishing in this area, that this is an area that has garnered enough interest to receive publication, but you also need to state how yours stands out from the competition. The last thing you want, the sixth thing actually, is how far along you are. Do you have a complete manuscript? If you do, say, you know, I have a full manuscript ready to send out for review. If not, you can say how many chapters you've completed. You know, you can say, I've completed 4 of 6 chapters and expect to have a final manuscript by X date. So if this is your first academic book, I discourage you from sending a proposal before you are certain of when you will finish the book. So as soon as you know when you can finish the manuscript, that's the earliest time that you would usually send a proposal out to presses. And again, this can vary. If you need a contract or if you have a particular reason to send it out before you're ready or before you can anticipate being ready, then you know you can try that. But in general, you want to be able to say explicitly, I will be ready, this book will be finished by X date. You know, if you're going to be sending it out now, you would say, this book will be finished by December 1st or by January 1st. You just want to have a date that you can place as the expected completion date if you're not already finished. And again, you can send out the prospectus when you've completed the manuscript, or you can send it out when you've completed some of it. It kind of depends. The last thing you can include, or you would normally include, is who might review your book. And here you can provide the names and contact information of people who you think might be appropriate readers for your book. Just so you know, there's nothing wrong with doing this. Sometimes acquisitions editors don't know who might be the best reader, and they may not send out the book to the exact readers that you list, but that will give them an idea of who you think your audience is. And you know, and they may or may not contact you to ask you if there's anyone you don't want them to send it to. But here in the prospectus, you usually just want to say, here are some readers that may be willing to review this manuscript. So those are the components of the book manuscript. And usually, if you haven't written a book proposal yet, I suggest you start with the chapter descriptions because those are usually the easiest part to write. You already have an idea of what the book will look like, so you can just write out the chapter descriptions. And once you have those, you can begin to work on the introductory first page. And the other stuff, you know, the other technical components, those are fairly easy, and you can work on those at your leisure. You know, who you think the audience will be, list the reviewers, say how far along you are. And it can be good to kind of write a draft of this book proposal, whenever you have an idea about what your book will look like, because it's a document that you should work on for a while to make it better, it's good to write a draft early on so you can go back to it. So that way, you know, you might even write up the audience section, you know, this afternoon, and then that way you can think, oh, that might also work in this kind of class, or it also might work in this kind of class. Something you have a document that you can go back to and improve on over the course of a long time. Now I want to talk about, just briefly, about what's included in the package you send to publishers. Now, most of the time, if you go to the publisher's website, they will say explicitly, we want you to send us a proposal and two chapters and your CV. But if it doesn't say that, then that you should send that anyway, a proposal, two chapters, and a CV. But if it only says, please only send the proposal, don't send any chapters, then you don't send any chapters. Or if it says, send us the proposal and the CV, you know, you want to look and see if they have guidelines. If they don't have any guidelines, if the website is not up to date, then I would just go ahead and send the proposal, two sample chapters, and a brief version. You don't need to send your 20-page CV, but just, you know, your two-page CV, something that gives them an idea of what you've accomplished. And as for which chapters to send, if you have the introduction ready, that's usually a good chapter to send. And if you're working with empirical data, or if you're working on books, or, you know, literary criticism, you want to have something that has some substance to it. You probably don't want to send the introduction and the theory chapter. It might be better to send the introduction and a kind of an empirical, a substantive chapter. But it, again, that will vary on which you basically want to send the two chapters that you consider to be the most exemplary of your work. Now I'm going to turn to what happens after you submit the proposal. So just I'm going to kind of go through the process of what happens. When you submit the proposal, the acquisitions editor receives a prospectus. And at that point, they'll look at the prospectus, look at your CV, and look at your sample chapter, and they'll make a decision as to whether or not they're going to send your book manuscript out for review. If they do not plan to send your manuscript out for review, they'll send you a letter with their regrets. And sometimes these letters will come the next week, and I actually think I received a letter one time a couple of years after. So it can take a really long time to get a rejection. So another reason why you should probably send your prospectus to several publishers. Unlike peer-reviewed articles, when you're just sending out a prospectus, you can send it out to, you know, five or six presses at the same time. There's no problem with doing that in most cases. Some presses, when they actually send the manuscript out for review, will want exclusivity, but sometimes they don't. That depends on the editor. But anyway, if they are interested, they often will call you or email you with the request to see more materials. Sometimes if they're really excited, they could call you the next day. So you want to be ready. When you send out your prospectus, you want to be ready to receive a call or email from the editor, because if they're really interested, they might get back with you very quickly. Sometimes they'll say, okay, I'm interested in your manuscript. When is it going to be finished? And when it's finished, we'll send it out for review. Other times, they may send just the prospectus out for review. Other times, they might be willing to send out the prospectus plus four chapters or two chapters. It really depends on the press. But that's why you send them the prospectus and the two chapters, and then they'll get back with you and let you know what the next step is if they're interested. So then the next step is that the press sends the manuscript out for review. And this process usually takes quite a while. It depends. If you're just sending out a prospectus and one or two chapters, you might get a response back within a month. If you're sending your entire manuscript out to review, a lot of times you can be waiting between four or five, six, up to a year. Right after a year, then you might want to move on, or you definitely can check back with the acquisitions editor after 3 months, 4 months to find out what's going on. But just want to be prepared for the fact, especially as you're thinking, if you're going up for tenure, that it can take a long time for them to get reviews. Some presses want two reviews, some want three, some want four. And as you can imagine, if you've sent other things out for review, it can take a long time. But basically, it will be out for review and you'll be working on other things. Then the reviews come back to the acquisitions editor. The acquisitions editor looks at the reviews, and they're going to make a decision, usually the acquisitions editor, along with their editorial board. And at that point, they could decide to offer you a contract based on the reviews, They also could ask you to do more revisions and send it out for review again, or they could decline to offer a contract based on their views. So sometimes you can wait a whole year and they can say we're not interested. Sometimes, but you know, it depends. So this is why it's important to be ready early on. But anyway, after they get the reviews, they make a decision. You know, are we ready to give you a contract to publish this book? Do we want you to make more revisions and then give you a contract? Or are we just not willing to move forward with this manuscript? And if they're not willing to move forward, then you go back to the beginning and you send it out to other presses. Now, if the reviews are favorable and they offer you a contract, this is the time when you have a little bit of room to negotiate a contract. Now, again, if this is your first book and it's based on your dissertation, most people don't have a lot of room to negotiate, but I do want to point out that there are some things that you can ask for. First of all, you can discuss who's going to pay for the index. And there's kind of three things that could happen. Either they will pay for the index, or you will pay for the index, or they can agree for the index to come out of any future royalties. The second thing is who's going to pay for the cover and the inside pictures. Again, the same three options, you, the press, or future royalties. And there's also some presses ask for subventions from your university to pay for these things, and you can ask at your university if there are subventions available. It might be kind of surprising, but sometimes they actually will take money from you to publish your book. But that is this kind of the state of academic publishing these days, so don't be too surprised if they do ask for money. The next thing that could be up for negotiation is who pays for the copy editing. The royalties rate, and again, these vary. They don't vary a lot on the first book, but sometimes if you think your book is going to do quite well, you can negotiate for the royalties rate to be higher or for it to be higher after a certain many sell. Like, so for example, after 500 copies sell, I want the royalties rate to go up, or after 1,000 copies sell. Or for those particularities, you would want to ask people in your subfield, because, again, this varies a lot by subfield. And the last thing to negotiate, and one of the most important things, I think, is when and whether the book will be released in paperback. Now, some presses automatically release the hardcover and the paperback right away. Other presses only release in paperback, and still other ones will release the hardcover and then may or may not ever release a paperback. So, of course, if a book is only released in hardcover and never in paperback, it may be more difficult to sell because it could be priced really highly. So these are the kind of things that you can negotiate at the point of signing a contract. And usually you sign the contract before the book is completely revised, but not always. It can vary. So the next step is to revise the manuscript based on the reviews. Usually you'll have reviews and you'll be expected to make revisions. Sometimes the editor will ask you to write a letter stating what revisions you're going to make before they issue a contract. Again, that depends. And some presses will ask you to make revisions based on the reviews and then send it out for review again. There's a couple of presses that do this routinely. Sometimes they'll do it in particular cases. But basically, once you get the reviews, you're going to usually have to do some revisions, whether minor or major, to the manuscript. Other presses will review it internally and ask you to make further revisions. So you might revise it, and then they'll say, okay, well, this looks good, but we want you to reorganize it or do something according to their editorial suggestions. And other ones, you'll make the revisions, and they'll just send it straight to the next step. Kind of depends on the press. The next step is copy editing. So once your book manuscript has been revised substantively, it goes to the copy editor, and they proofread the text. Usually they'll have it for like 1 to 3 months, depending, and then they'll make the copy edits, and then you get it again. And this is a really important point I want to make to people, because I know a lot of academics are perfectionists, but keep in mind that the manuscript that you submit the first time to the press is nowhere near the final manuscript. It needs to go out for review. After review, it needs to be revised, and you need to revise it again. And then it goes to a copy editor, and the copy editor actually, in most cases, is going to send you back a Word document. So you have yet another chance to make it even better, right? So yeah, and the copy editing usually can take a while because you have to go through the entire manuscript and fix any errors the copy editor finds, insert any citations they found missing, check for inconsistencies. So it can also oftentimes take several weeks to actually go through the copy edited manuscript. And they usually give you a deadline between 4 to 6 weeks to respond to the copy edit. So you want to plan for that on your calendar. The next step after it goes to copy edits, the publisher puts the manuscript into page proofs. So you get to read those and revise them. And now the manuscript looks like a book. And for the page proof section, you don't really have a lot of time. Usually they'll give you a couple weeks to go through it. And you just want to make sure that there aren't any major errors in the manuscript. And then the manuscript goes to the printer, and then you wait for your book to be printed. This can take a few months, 2, 4, 6 months, depends on the press. And some presses only release at a certain time of year, so it can take a really long time. The last step is that your book is available for sale, and it's your job to promote it and to let everybody know and to sell it. I went through all of those steps just so you can be aware how long it takes to publish an academic book. Just to give you an anecdotal story, I completed the manuscript for my first book in May 2009. It was a complete manuscript, and I sent it to a publisher who had already agreed to review it. So I had already sent them prospectus. They had already agreed to review it. I received the reviews in November 2009, and that's 6 months later, and that's a perfectly reasonable, normal amount of time. I couldn't really have expected to receive the reviews much faster. And the publisher offered me a contract on the basis of the reviewer's evaluations. I signed the contract, and I revised the book according to the suggested revisions. And I returned the book to the publisher in March 2010. So it took between November 2009 and March 2010 for me to make the revisions, and the revisions were not very extensive, but still I had to go back through the whole manuscript to make some revisions. In June 2010, I received and reviewed the copy edits. In October 2010, I reviewed the page proofs, and the book was released in February 2011, so nearly 2 years after I had originally finished the book manuscript. So just keep this timetable in mind, particularly if you would like to have a bound book available when you go up for tenure, if that's your situation. So I'll stop there, and now, because we have time for questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tanya. It looks like we do have some questions. I'm going to start with Kay, who has had her question queue up for a while yet. All right, Kay, go ahead and ask Tanya your question.
Okay. Can you hear me, Tanya?
Yes, I can.
Okay. What I wanted to know, you were saying something about the, I did not understand the word that you said. I know you said how to go about getting an acquisition editor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wait, right now I can't find it, but I'll come back in a few minutes if that's okay.
Sure. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Yep. No problem.
Okay, I will take your hand down, and then when you're ready to ask the question again, just press 1 again. All right, Kay?
Thank you.
All right. John has almost a comment type of question that he put on the chat, so I'm going to read that. TA member and attorney Michael Lenny's version of your number 5 of 7, as you outlined in the proposal, was different than what he has said. He said that he likes your explanation better. What he calls an extensive market research, you've called naming the others how my book will stand out. Can you comment on that, Tanya?
Right.
I'm not sure exactly.
So in terms of the market, I guess. It's interesting. I guess I was thinking a lot of academics don't really think about markets when we think about when we're writing our dissertation. It's not a language that many of us are comfortable with. I think it's more of a semantic difference, where an academic is probably not used to thinking about what's the market for my book or what's the competition for my book. And also I think the market is different. The market is who's going to buy your book. But there's a scholarly difference where you think about who is my book in conversation with, how is my book going to stand out. So there's kind of two different things, who's going to buy your book versus what's out there versus who your book is in conversation with. So I don't know if that answers the question or if that addresses the issue at hand.
All right. Thank you, Tanya. We have another question from Alicia. Go ahead, Alicia.
Hi. My question is what kind of overlap is there between something like an actual book and maybe software in terms of these steps?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Okay, basically, if I wanted to go to a company to publish some kind of software, for academic purposes, I'm wondering, can I follow these same sorts of steps, or are there
Oh, I have no idea. I've never published software. I'm sorry. I have no idea at all. Sorry about that. But I will say that it's your question. There's another market for academic books, which is textbooks, and textbooks is actually different. The way that you would write a textbook would actually be different from writing an academic book. So the process for a textbook would be different. I'll just say briefly, one of the things is normally when you're going to write a textbook, you're working with an editor and an editorial assistant and a marketing team from the beginning. So I would suspect that the software would be more similar to publishing a textbook, and a textbook being defined as a book that's written almost exclusively for the college student market.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
And I'll say, Alicia, we do have a podcast on writing a book proposal for a textbook if you want to check that out.
Okay, great.
All right, we do have a question on the chat, and that is, what is an index?
Okay, an index is just at the end of, you know, pick up any book that you have, any academic book that you have, and you look at the end, and it'll start from A to Z, and it'll say, you know, agrarian reform, page 52, and next, beehives, page 47. So that's an index, and you can do your own index if you like, but some people prefer to subcontract that out to professional indexers.
All right, Kay's back with her question. Hello, Kay.
Hi. My question was under the book proposal. You said state your, and I couldn't understand the word that you said before, argument. Argument?
Yeah, state your argument. Let me look at my notes. I don't remember.
That essential?
Oh, central. Your central argument. So the idea just being that your book manuscript is going to have a central, like one argument that you're putting forth, one line of argument that you're. So you may have several arguments in the book, but usually an academic book is going to have one central argument that carries through the entire text.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Sorry that wasn't clear.
Thank you, Kay. All right. Dana, go ahead and ask your question.
For those disciplines that might be a little bit more image-heavy, such as design or architecture or those kinds of things, are there any changes to the steps that you might recommend or any sort of focus that would have to change for those manuscripts that would be more image-heavy?
I mean, I think there you want to when a press see. Well, first of all, you want to pay attention to presses that do publish books with lots of images. Some presses won't have the budget. For them, it's going to be seen as a budgetary issue. Like, where is the money going to come from to produce all of these images? So that would be one thing to focus on. Specifically, make sure that that you're talking to presses that generally publish books with lots of images, and then you want to have a good idea. You probably want to, when you do say, you know, I'm going to have 30 images in my book, you might want to justify that or kind of point out that that's kind of the market for those kind of books. it depends on the particular press and how things work, and I would probably ask people in your discipline, but I would find out if in your discipline, if it's customary for the university to provide a subvention. I also know, I think TAA also has a competition for book publishing subvention. So that might be, if you have one, if you have access to that, that might be something you could even include in the proposal, because that would be one of the considerations that the press would have.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dana. I would like to say that TA does offer publication grants of up to $1,000 to cover costs such as university press subventions and the cost of preparing artwork, charts, diagrams, or other images. If you want to learn more about the publication grants, it's not a competition. You can apply anytime at taaonline.net/publication_grants. And for any of you that didn't catch that, I will put it into the follow-up email, a survey that I'll be sending after the call. So we have another question on the chat from Marcos. Can you suggest a resource with sample book proposals or prospectuses?
I will look into that and see if I can. I know I have seen some online, and I believe someone actually sent me one recently. So I'll send a link to that to Kim to send out with. If Kim, you could remind me about that. I do have
sure.
I have a link that someone recently sent to me with samples.
All right, another question from the chat. Tanya, you mentioned that it's okay to send a proposal to several publishers at the same time. Do you need to disclose the fact of multiple submissions to each publisher? I specifically ask with regard to textbooks. Not sure if you know how that applies to textbooks.
Okay, so with regard to academic books, I know you can send out as many as you want, and you don't have to mention at the stage of proposal. And as for textbooks, I would think that you could. I'm not 100% sure, but it seems like you could. The thing you want to be careful of is you just want to think about how much investment you're asking. If you're just sending out a proposal and you want people to read it and indicate whether or not they're interested, you're not really asking a whole lot of an acquisitions editor. But once you begin to send them lots of material when they begin to send stuff out for review, that's the point at which you need to say, I'm considering several presses. So that probably also applies to textbooks.
All right. I don't see any other questions right now. If you have a question, please press 1 on your phone keypad. And also, if you have a chat feature open on your screen, you can type the question in if you'd like to do it that way. All right, I'm not seeing anything. No other hands raised and no other questions on the chat. Oh, here we go. Marcos, how many reviewers are typical for a book?
So now for a textbook, they could send it up to 12, right? They'd send out, it's a totally different process. For an academic book, it's usually 2 to 3 reviewers for a book manuscript.
All right. Thanks, Marcos, for that question. Anyone else? I'm going to wait just a minute because it looks like there's a little bit of a delay when someone asks a question or types in a question to the chat. Here's one from John. The inexplicit hierarchy is another neat term. Can you comment on that?
In terms of the presses, I commented on it. It's something I was completely unaware of in graduate school. I think I was talking to one of my professors, and she mentioned that, a certain press was interested in her book, but she wasn't sure she was going to try and go for a more prestigious press. And I had just, for me, just the mere fact of publishing a book was like, wow, it seemed so amazing that I had no idea. But then I heard another story from another person who told me that in order to get tenure at his prestigious institution, they only wanted to see you publishing at Ivy League presses. So it was interesting how that hierarchy is there, and a lot of people don't know about it. But, it doesn't apply to everyone because it really depends if you're at a top research university and you're in a book-heavy discipline, then it really, really matters. But if you're in a discipline where most people don't publish books and it's not common to publish books or you're in a discipline where people really are more interested in your book having a wider audience than the prestige of a press. So it's not always going to matter in your case, but I wanted to point out that it does matter for some people. So it's important to know about it and to figure out whether or not it matters for you.
Great, thank you. Thanks, John. Great question. All right, anyone else? Anyone else have any other questions? Not seeing any? So I would like to thank you, Tanya, for sharing your expertise with us today, and thank you all for participating in today's audio conference. How to Write and Submit a Book Proposal for an Academic Press is an educational presentation brought to you by the Text and Academic Authors Association.